Thanks for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and to make Him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. I sincerely hope you enjoy this week's content. Welcome, my name is Lloyd Baker. I'm the lead pastor of Streams Church, and I just find it's a privilege to be able to speak with you, and thank you for setting aside the time to be with us this morning. Every year at Streams, we do something special. We do a welcome home series, usually after the summer break when we're going into school, that talks about our vision and values. But this year, needless to say, because of COVID, we've all had to reevaluate our values and our visions, or more importantly, how we express ourselves with the greater humanity. How do we interact with each other physically and emotionally and spiritually? So we've evaluated that here at Streams Church. This year I've come up with three different symbols that I think will help simplify how we believe expressing ourselves in a spiritual community, how that should go with one another. Last week we talked about rows. Rows are larger gatherings where we congregate to celebrate and receive revelation. Today we're going to talk about circles. Let me recap rows for you a little bit. If you've ever been to a church that had pews, you get the visual image. And most churches are set up that way when you come to a Sunday morning experience, that there are rows and that you sit in. The worship is interactive, but the learning tends to be passive. We worship together. We hear an anointed message together. At Streams, we allow for the expression of the gifts of the Spirit. We give room for the fivefold ministry that's explained in the scripture. And as I said last week, I've had some great, powerful experiences in such services in my lifetime. At age 14, in a church service at a camp in the Ozark Mountains, I came down and gave my life to Christ after a powerful message. When I was 15, I went to a week-long revival, and it was there at the altar during one of these services that I received a calling into ministry. At age 17, at another camp, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. In my life, I've spent a lot of time in those row settings, and I received so much. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 says this. It says in verses 24 through 25, and I think this is really powerful for us today. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And I found so much encouragement when I've been in those type of services in my life. I miss those services. I'm so glad that we're able to come back together. But I know that some of you are listening, especially if you're listening, there may be a reason, a good reason. Maybe you have a health reason. Maybe you're at risk. And that's why we provide online. And someday we hope soon that you're able to gather with us again. But until then, we thank you for being with us. But there are powerful experiences, especially the demonstration of the Spirit, that I've received in a row type concept. So they're important. Circles. Circles are different than rows. Circles, just think of the concept. It's a group of people, a smaller group of people, who gather together to really take the revelation that they may have received and make it very applicable. It's people that know you well. Circles are just different. Jesus taught the masses in rows. He challenged the religious thinking of the day, sort of in rows. He brought and taught new concepts about God in rows. He spoke in parables in rows. He healed and performed miracles for people in the public eye. But he discipled in circles. Right? He explained in circles. He mentored in circles. He called specific men and women to live life with him 24/7. And he put and imparted his heart and the will of God into their lives specifically so that one day they would go and change the world. See, that's circles. Let me show you an example in the scripture of circles. So we're going to go to Matthew 13, between circles and rows. Both these concepts are here in Matthew 13. I love this. Chapter 13, verse 1, it says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by a lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it,
while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables. This is a great example of a row type experience. There's so many people. He has to get out away from the people, get in a boat. He speaks to them so that everyone can hear. And then he tells a parable to all these people. He tells a parable of the sower. He said, this guy went out and sowed seed. Some of it went on a hard path and didn't have any growth. The birds came and ate the seeds. Some went into a rocky soil, which grew quickly, but when the sun came out, difficult times, it faded away. Some were in thorns and they grew up, but the weeds choked them out. And then some seeds went into good soil and it produced a crop. Later in Matthew tells about all kinds of parables that Jesus talked about in that setting, the weeds, parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast, the hidden treasure and the pearl and the net. And Matthew was proving that when Jesus with those types of concepts, he dealt with big concepts that he talked to the crowd. And so after the parable of the sower in verse 10, his disciples come to him in a sort of a circle atmosphere and says to him, they ask him this question. It says, the disciples came to him, verse 10, in a circle, if you will, I'm adding that, and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And my interpretation is that Jesus, my brain hurts trying to figure out everything you're trying to say. Speak in plain English, or they probably would say, speak in plain, probably Aramaic. And I know that when I'm speaking in a row situation, that people are thinking the whole time. Maybe like, is he talking to me? Right? Has my wife been telling him stories? Because it sounds like he's speaking right to me. Which soil am I? You know, you're thinking through when Jesus tells a story. Am I the hard path? Am I the good soil? Am I the weeds? You know, and then you start thinking, well, I wonder what kind of seed he was using. Maybe he was planting green beans, or maybe it was corn, and your mind starts to wander like, man, I love fresh corn. I'm like, God, that's one of my favorite vegetables. And I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to take the corn and she'd like cut it off and it would fall down. And man, I wonder if my mom's doing well. She lives back in Kansas City, and then, oh my gosh, the Chiefs are playing today. What a great Super Bowl. And then I'm done. You're like, am I supposed to stand? Are we supposed to pray? Because people's minds wander. So they're sitting there to Jesus going, you're teaching us things we can't figure out, and we don't get it. Our brain is hurting. And here's what I know, that when I speak like that, the interpretation of my speaking will depend highly on your present tense circumstance. Perhaps even that morning, of what's going on in your life. And it will change week to week depending on what happens. So the disciples are like, why are you teaching this way? And so Jesus has an answer in verses 11 through 13. He says this. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. And whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. This is interesting. Whoever does not have, even what they will have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. He says, I speak to them. Rows are for evangelism. Rows are for speaking truth to a culture or a people group. Rows are for biblical proclamation of the kingdom of God, challenging hearts, creating opportunities for people to respond. But circles are for growth. And circles are for understanding. Circles are for personal application. And I personally believe there will be a day when we will be held accountable for what we've heard in rows. If you go on in verse 14 of Matthew 13, it says, in them, these people, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but not perceiving. And I think no one will be able to stand before God one day and go, I never heard that. And the proclamation of the gospel in medias that go big is a part of that. It's so that people can hear and know and not understanding. And I think I'm going to read a little bit into this part. It's like the reason they see but they don't really see, or they listen, but they don't really hear, is because you can't necessarily do that in such a big group. But when you get into circles, that application can happen. And so Jesus was constantly teaching and then bringing in those who are close to him and explaining, and many times making personal application depending upon the person. So now let's move forward to the beginning of the church. In Acts chapter 2 was the day of Pentecost. If you remember the story, that those disciples and the people that followed Jesus were in a circle in the upper room, and as they were praying, supernaturally the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in different languages and going out from there, and people were witnessing that, and they literally thought these people are drunk. And so we read in Acts chapter 2, Peter stand up, and Peter has the same gift that Jesus has, the ability to speak in a public forum. And it says in verse 14 of chapter 2, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you, listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So they're in a circle. Holy Spirit falls, and all of a sudden that circle turned into a row moment where Peter is addressing a large crowd who is passively listening to him, but he's speaking in such a powerful way, in such a convicting way, that the scripture tells us that over 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. So he's making this great proclamation. He's giving an opportunity for response. He's revealing God's heart through Jesus and the salvation that Jesus brings. This is God's heart for humanity. And so a great group of people responded to the message, and they started the early church. Now, let's look at what they then did. In chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. So they went circle, big row, back to a circle when all the believers came together. And all of a sudden, this is the concept of a local body church. They met in circles. And circles were for personal application. And circles were for personal care, taking care of one another. And they were for fellowship and unity and for joy. And one more thing, I think circles are, in this situation, were the primary pathway for those who are interested in Jesus to come into an evangelist experience. And I think today that is so appropriate. I think there's going to be a shift in the winds, because during this COVID experience, we've seen people that have really taken a step back as how they've interacted with one another. So if you were to talk to somebody who might be interested in following Jesus or making a decision, asking them to come to a small group where you guys were at your home, maybe people they knew, eating dinner, is a much less intense experience than saying, hey, come to this big gathering where right now the exposure might be higher, especially if somebody might have health risks. So I think it's really appropriate. Last week I told you how Rose changed my life forever. And let me take it a step further. I was in a camp, sort of Rose pews there, where I came forward and gave my life to Christ when the salvation was offered. But afterwards, I went to a youth group in a circle, a really small youth group. And the youth pastor took a real interest in my life because I just was hungry to grow in God. And we began to meet on a regular basis. And the first thing, it was a Baptist church, so the first thing you had to learn was the Romans road to salvation. And I memorized 5 scripture passages in Romans with his guidance, and he taught me how I could share my faith with other people using these 5 scriptures. When I was 15, my stepdad left our family. I turned to him. He was the man who helped me understand and process what was going on, that there was a heavenly Father who would never leave me. We have a great youth group here at Streams. If your kid's not involved, you want to be a part of it. But when we were hiring our youth pastor several years ago, I have this concept that when you speak in the youth group, in the youth meeting, I want everybody breaking up into circles so they can discuss what it means to be a junior high follower. And so before I even got to that, our youth pastor Mitch says to me, you know what? I only speak about 15, 20 minutes, and then I break everybody into groups because there's no way I can pastor 50, 60 people, but I can pastor the leaders who can then pastor them. So in our youth group, when they're speaking, they get broke up into groups, and it's like the middle-aged boys that are together, maybe 6th, 7th, 8th grade type of those situations. And we have usually somebody in their 20s, a young man of God, who gets together and says, hey, let's talk about that. What does that mean for your life? And I'm telling you right now, parents, you need a vitamin C tablet for raising youth. You need somebody that can complement what's going on. And so having somebody that's just a little older down the faith of them, maybe 10 years older, who can speak to them, it's powerful. And that's why I love circles, because when I was that young man dealing with the situations I was dealing with, this guy spoke into my life. It was at a revival in a row situation where I felt the call of God, and I went forward and gave my life to follow after the calling of God. I was in Arkansas, and it was really remote, but the pastor took an interest in me like that. So the first Monday of the month, about a 30-minute drive away in our little region of churches, we only had one pastor that actually went to Bible college. So he would teach on a Monday night, the first Monday. We would go and learn theology. We'd learn about the Bible. And when I was 15, it was so amazing to me that somebody would allow me to do this. My pastor took me to that circle where I began to start learning about what it was like to be a pastor and to preach and the Word of God and understanding what my calling meant. And then these guys set me up as a circuit preacher. And this is old school now. So I would take a message, and every week I would go somewhere to a remote church that didn't have a pastor, way up in the hills in the Ozarks, and I would speak to 5 or 6 people. I would do that 3 Sundays, and I'd come back to my church on a Sunday. In that circle, they were developing my gift to be a pastor. I heard Floyd McClung speak, and I read his book about the Father's Heart of God, and it meant so much to me in those situations where he would speak, and I would listen to him passively in a row situation. And there were times that I went to the altar crying about just not understanding why a father abandons. And when I was in Bible college, there was this one teacher, Nate Saginario, and he was giving me piano lessons. And I was go to his house to take the piano lessons. I'm not that great, but it took a year. But it had a lot more to do with him speaking to my life as a father. We would sidetrack all the time. And it was so cool because I would see him. He was putting down his young son to go to bed right before my lesson. So I got there watching him love on his son, pray with his son, and then send his son to bed. And he was teaching me what a good father looks like. So I'm not really a piano player, but I learned a lot about him being a father in a circle situation. I could go on and on and on. Rows are for revelation, and circles are for application. And I know if you're watching this today online, you're not able to be with us. There's a lot of reasons why, and we understand. We really do. And if you're at risk in any way, please stay home. We love you. But find a way to connect with us through email. I think you can respond to what's going on today online here right now. Let us know how you're doing. Let us be able to pray for you. We'll connect with you. We'll contact you. Don't isolate in depression. Right now, find a way to connect with people that love you and keep that circle, if you will, going. You may be watching today because you've been hurt by the conventional church institution. I understand your pain. And I know that right now you feel like isolation is the answer. I want to encourage you, start with a circle somewhere. And if you have to choose right now, choose a circle. A small group of people. People that maybe can care for you and understand your story and help you get along. And when you're ready and when you're well, man, we want to invite you back into a row experience on Sunday mornings where the whole family comes, where all 5-fold ministry is being expressed. But right now, getting to a circle is more important than ever. People that love you, who care for you, can speak into your life. And so this is where you grow. This is where you're cared for individually. And it's so important. And I'm so grateful to God that His heart is so rich in love that He caused us to want to be in a group bigger than us, that He caused us to want and need each other. And that can't happen sitting in a pew in the back of a church. That care has to happen in a circle. So I'm a big fan of circles because it's radically changed my life. So I hope you can get online. You can look at our circle groups online in our website. You can call us, you can email us and respond to us, and we'll make sure that somehow you're getting connected with people who will care for you and who will love you. So thank you for being with us at Streams today. The Lord loves you. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on in your life, He really cares for you. Reach out to Him, and He will be with you no matter what you go through.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. If you want to know more about our church, you can go to our website, streamschurch.org. Also, follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook. We would love to connect with you. Again, if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, have a great week.